Austin rolled up outside of the house in his fancy car, still sporting all of that swagger. He didn't get out of the car right away, though, even though we were 10 minutes late. He stalled, capturing my hand and lacing his fingers through mine.
Why are you nervous?
I took a deep breath, not really wanting to be honest. I knew he was giddy about staking his claim in front of my ex, and the magical part of me was eager for him to do it. The Jane, though, still had a lot of misgivings. I looked out the window. Matt hates any sort of confrontation. I felt weak, like I wasn't in control, like I'd fail at any moment, which was insane because it was just a semi-casual dinner and I wasn't hosting. Unlike with my last couple of formal dinners, this one posed zero risk. So we didn't get along, so what? My son was grown and his dad and I didn't need to be best pals. We could be civil when we had to see each other and that was that. But my stomach was churning and a cold sweat had beaded on my skin. This was exactly how I felt when I'd gone to gatherings with Matt in the past. If things didn't go perfectly, I'd get the fallout. His words could be so cutting, so terrible, that I'd be reduced to tears and a lack of self-worth. The memories were suddenly so fresh that I was choking on them. He can make a night utterly miserable. I struggled to get my bearings. I remembered what Aurora had told me before we walked out the door.
Keep your head above the bullshit.
I was suddenly so glad she'd come to Los Angeles with us.
I'm here.
Austin reached over to put his fingers on my chin and pull my face his way. His eyes were so gorgeous and blue, so open and raw.
I'm here for you, always. Don't forget that. The past is a hard terrain to walk through, but we'll do it together. I guarantee he will not make your night miserable. I will not let that happen, okay? Trust me.
I let my head fall against the headrest and gave him a thankful smile. Because I was with this man, not the one lurking inside. And my life was so much more beautiful than I'd ever thought possible. Okay.
Okay.
He let go of my hand and opened his door. I did the same, waiting for him to come grab the chocolate-covered strawberries from my lap and help haul me out. He laced my fingers with his again as we walked toward the front stoop.
I thought you said he had a new, big, fancy house.
I took in the surroundings. The stale neighborhood with no real personality, the yard with not one leaf out of place, and the moderately sized dwelling that looked like a toy compared to Ivy House. The land was mostly barren of natural trees. Instead, the streets had planted saplings affixed to posts with rubber ties to ensure they grew straight and uniform. The bushes were all too perfect for my tastes. It was as though the builders had come through, purposely stripped away all that was natural and wild, and replaced it with uninspired architecture and unoriginal plant life, aiming for an all-American vibe and landing instead on good enough. I glanced up on impulse. I knew gargoyles were in the sky, circling until the coast was clear and they could come down and blend in.
This is his version of a big fancy house. Once it might have been mine. I pushed the doorbell. Things have certainly changed. I would not go back to living in a neighborhood like this for all the peace in the world.
Oh, that's good to know.
Heels clicked against the hardwood behind the door.
He would never answer doors. I always had to do it. Not Jimmy, even. Me, as the woman of the house. If I wasn't home and he was, the door didn't get answered. Looks like Camilla is running with that baton.
I mean, no offense, but that didn't strike you as odd?
It really should have, right? He said it was how things were done in an affluent household. At the time, I wanted to please him and also fit the image of a wealthy woman. You saw my parents' house. It felt like a big step up in life.
And now look. You're beyond wealthy on your own terms. You can open doors without even getting up. But if you do, you'll get chewed out by your old-as-dirt, somewhat senile, very grumpy gargoyle butler.
I spat out a laugh as the door swung open to the woman I'd seen on social media with her new gleaming engagement ring. Her pretty face was fresh, and her eyes sparkled with genuine happiness. As I'd expected, a row of pearls adorned her neck.
Jacinta, it's so nice to meet you.
Her smile stretched wide as she reached out a hand.
I'm Camilla.
Call me Jessie, please. Hello, nice to meet you. I shook her hand before turning a bit. Allow me to introduce my boyfriend. Partner, I mean, Austin. We live together because it's permanent.
Hello.
Austin balanced the dessert platter on one hand and reached the other forward for a handshake.
Hi.
Camilla looked dazed for a moment as she took him in.
Hello. Welcome.
These are for you.
Austin pushed the platter forward.
Oh, thank you so much. You didn't have to do that.
Crap. I glanced back at the car. I meant to bring a bottle of wine as well. I'm so sorry. I totally forgot.
Don't worry about it.
She leaned in a little.
We have plenty.
Camilla!
Matt's disapproving voice came from the interior of the house.
How long do you intend to strand our guests on the porch?
Her smile dwindled rapidly, and a cagey look lit her eyes.
Oh, my. I'm so sorry. Please come in.
She stepped to the side of the door, her shoulders tensed. I knew exactly how she was feeling. My heart also quickened upon hearing that familiar tone. It's fine, really. I waved away her sudden concern as Austin ran his hand along my shoulders, before lightly trailing it down my back, offering quiet support. I leaned into his touch for a moment, stilling myself, taking a breath. Matt did not own my world anymore. This dinner was at his house, but that did not give him sole control of the proceedings. We could leave whenever we wished. The front room was just as stale as the neighborhood, with light gray walls, a dark gray wraparound couch, and a plain beige rug beneath it. A glass coffee table held a vase filled with a bouquet of white roses, a necessity for Matt every time we'd entertained. A painting one might find in a hotel hung on the wall behind the couch. Matt stood from his seat at the end of the couch, laying a Pottery Barn catalog down on the coffee table. He wore a light blue button-up shirt with black slacks and black shoes he'd probably had Camilla polish. Jimmy, on the opposite side of the couch, stood as well, his smile bright and his clothes equally formal, if a little rumpled. I could feel Mr. Tom moving around the perimeter of the house, checking things out or maybe just stretching his legs. He hadn't been moving much while he was here, and I guessed that was because Jimmy had stayed in his room a lot. I wasn't sure how the eating and bathroom situation was working for him and was honestly a little afraid to ask. I wasn't sure what lengths Mr. Tom would go to watch over Jimmy, though my heart squished every time I thought about his devotion to my son. Hey, bud. I gave Jimmy a tight hug. Did you guys have fun the last couple days? Did you settle in?
Jacinta, please. You're suffocating the young man. It's only been a couple of days. He's well able to live his life without his mother hanging over him at every turn.
I already don't like him.
Ivy House whispered in my mind.
Set him on fire, lock him in a closet to burn up, and be done with it.
It really spoke to my anger and frustration at Matt's comment that I half contemplated her suggestion. He was definitely in one of his moods. Trying to keep the peace and hopefully lighten things up, I widened my eyes at my son, who was accustomed to his father's outbursts, and dropped my hands. I faced my ex. He looked older than I remembered. His eyes were tight and his jaw clenched, etching the opposite of laugh lines into his skin from years of disapproval. His hair was slicked with a severe part to the side, and while before it had somehow seemed refined and cultured, now it seemed uptight and too greasy. His posture was still great, but his affluent air seemed strangely lacking. His power and dominance definitely were. Time had altered my perception of him.
Your wrap is gorgeous. Just let me know if you get too hot and would like me to take it.
Camilla still held the dessert. Oh, here, I've got it. I unslung the wrap from my shoulders and crossed to the coat rack by the door.
I see not much has changed.
Matt gave Austin a commiserating smile.
She never did know how to dress for the occasion. One would think we were headed to a disco.
I barely stopped my shoulders from tensing. When I made it back to him, Austin slipped an arm around my waist. His anger burned through the bonds, but his tone was easy and nonchalant.
Disco? When's the last time you heard that term?
He looked down at me intimately, creating a private joke at Matt's expense.
I'd like every day to be a disco if it means you're gonna dress this fancy and look so gorgeous.
I smiled at him gratefully and snuggled in a little closer. A soft smile soaked into Camilla's expression as she watched us. Matt's eyes narrowed slightly.
And what is it you do?
His smile was condescending.
Forgive me for not knowing your name. Jacinta has forgotten to introduce us.
Austin.
Austin stepped forward with his hand out.
I'm an investor, but I also deal in manpower and textiles, selling services and some wholesale products. It's a family business, handed down, though my brother is heading up his leg of the organization from Wyoming.
I see.
Matt's gaze was shrewd as he shook Austin's hand. It was a look I'd seen a million times. He was sizing up Austin's potential net worth.
Lucky our Jessie found someone like you so quickly. I worried she wouldn't be able to make it on her own.
Power surged from Austin. His gaze turned vicious.
All due respect.
His hand visibly tightened, and he yanked Matt a little closer.
She isn't our Jessie. She is my Jessie. Take care when you address her.
Matt's eyes rounded, pain flaring in them from the punishing grip.
Sure. Yeah, fine.
Austin let go and leaned away, hugging me closer. Then he continued on as though none of that had just happened.
I couldn't have done it without her. She's been integral in building our investor list.
His anger still burned bright through the bonds, but he'd smoothed it from his face.
She's the co-leader of our organization.
He looked down on me with a soft smile, his devotion to me evident. I knew it wasn't just for show. I could feel the sentiment through our bonds. He was just making sure Matt saw it, too. Matt noticed the tray Camilla was holding.
Should you not put that in the kitchen? We'd hate for Jacinta's hard work to melt.
Oh, actually, Austin made those. I put a hand on his chest and smiled in pride. He is excellent in the kitchen. Camilla smiled tightly at Austin and hurried away. I watched her. Memories of those hurried strides rising to the surface.
I apologize, Austin. Jessie always made the desserts and things around here. She never did have an affinity for it, I guess. You weren't too fond of it, were you, hon? That sort of thing shows in the finished product.
Then it's a wonder why she didn't have help.
Austin's gaze was intense.
Don't call her hun. I will not tell you again.
His unbridled intensity pulsed through the room, coating my body in goosebumps. The threat was plain. And it was equally plain that he could carry out said threat with zero effort. He would play easygoing for many things, but someone being too familiar with his mate was a line he wouldn't allow to be crossed. Heat coursed through me, my gargoyle responding. I ran my hand up Austin's chest, not hearing Matt's response. I only registered that he quickly crossed the room to exit toward what must have been the kitchen. I pulled Austin's face down and captured his lips for a moment, sinking into his kiss. I love you.
And I love you.
It was only then I noticed Jimmy still standing by the couch.
Sorry? Too much mushy stuff, I know.
He shrugged.
It's fine. It's nice to see you happy. But...
He stepped closer, shooting a glance toward the kitchen.
He's been livid since Mr. Tom dropped me off. He's in one of those moods. Probably just got worse. Watch out.
What does that mean? One of those moods?
I didn't want to have this conversation in front of my son.
Jimmy, why don't you go see what they're doing? We'll be in there in a minute.
Jimmy nodded and left. Matt gets, like, intensely passive-aggressive.
There's no pleasing him. If you try to make it better, he belittles you. If you try to push back, he minimizes you until you feel like you're in the wrong.
Is there physical violence?
No, nothing like that. It's just, it's a head wreck. It's what I was worried about in the car. It makes you feel like garbage, basically. It happened every so often when we were married. I tried to shield Jimmy from it as much as possible, but he knows the signs.
Austin's eyes sparked fire. His hand found the small of my back, guiding me forward.
We'll see about this mood.
Just kill him. You could snap his neck like a twig. End him.
But even if I'd been fine with killing my son's father, this wasn't that kind of battle. It wasn't a fist fight or a magical attack to be thwarted. No, this was a mental battle. The kind of fight I'd never learned how to protect myself from. At the time, I hadn't even thought it necessary. Other moms in my circle had seemed happy in similar situations. They'd seemed well-adjusted. Or maybe they were just better actors.
It's fine. We walked through a formal dining room with the place settings perfectly laid out, the napkins matching the table runner in the middle. Two tapered candles waited to be lit on either side of a basket of fresh flowers. I'd laid out a very similar table, picking the pieces out of a catalog so I was sure they'd go together. I remember agonizing over the flowers, knowing Matt would point out my lack of etiquette if I got it wrong. He'd never helped me learn, though, if there was even a guide. I hadn't thought about that since the divorce. The supposed need for proper flowers and place settings had never once crossed my mind since our parting. If I hadn't come to this space and seen the same thing play out with a different actor, I never would have remembered. My grip was tight on Austin's hand, where it rested on my hip, as we entered the kitchen. Matt was just around the edge of the island, leaning down into Camilla's space, murmuring to her. Her face was drawn, her knuckles white from grasping her hands in front of her. I knew the sort of pep talk she was getting. He was taking out his frustrations over how it was going with Austin and me on her. He was blaming her for any number of things that were not her fault, but that she would feel responsible for. My stomach knotted at the sight, at the memory of what it had felt like. During those moments, I'd wanted so desperately to cry and give up, but doing so would only have ended with his taunting me over my hysterics. He would cite how emotional women were, ineffective at even the simplest of tasks. He'd tell me to stop sniveling, or worse, ask why I couldn't be more like Charlie's wife with her perfect taste and beauty, or John's wife with her amicable chatter and exceptional cooking prowess. He'd then flirt with those women, usually in front of me, shedding his charm on them while I struggled to fix the many things that had somehow been my fault.
I would have gotten that account if the dinner party had gone more smoothly.
Did you have to tell that joke?
Didn't you get along with his wife a little better?
I swear, you weigh this as one for me. I don't know how you'd ever survive, Jacinta.
Once again, I felt steeped in memories of the past. Why had I agreed to come at all?
Keep your head above the bullshit.
I shrugged off the memories, feeling my anger kindle, as Matt straightened up and stepped away from Camilla, his smile charming.
We were just finalizing our dinner plans.
Where's Jimmy? I saw him come in here.
I sent him up to his room for the time being. I figured it would give the adults a chance to talk. He'll meet us back down here for dinner.
I swallowed my irritation and tried to steady my anger. He would stonewall me if I seemed cross. Forget for a moment that he's an adult now, not a child you can send to his room. He's only home from college for a short time. The whole point of having this dinner was to present a united front as a family. Sending him away doesn't do much to promote that ideal. Don't you want to visit with him?
Jacinta, please.
Matt's smile tightened.
You don't need to make this into an argument. Let's just try to have a good time for once, can't we?
He shifted his focus to Austin without skipping a beat.
Austin, would you care for a glass of scotch?
He motioned in the direction we'd just come from.
I'd love to hear more about your business while the girls finish up in the kitchen.
A glass of wine would be fine, thanks.
Austin pulled his arm from around me, unbuttoning his shirt sleeves.
Camilla, I can give you a hand. What do you need?
She paused in grabbing the wine bottle, a confused smile on her face.
No, that's okay. I have it all organized.
Yes, don't trouble.
In my family?
Austin rolled up first one sleeve and then the other, showing off his muscular forearms.
Food is a love language. I love to cook, especially for my partner. I'd be honored to cook for her extended family. How can I help?
Be that as it may, I think we can give the girls time to get to know each other.
Matt's nerves were starting to fray, I could tell.
It's much more fitting if we head out for a scotch. Leave them to gossip. I'm sure they would thank you for it.
Staying calm was not easy. With Ivy House drumming power through me, muttering about flames and rope and closets. Why she wanted him thrust into a small space while lit up, I couldn't say, but she wouldn't let it go.
I'm fine where I am.
Austin's demeanor, the strength of his stare, and his rush of intensity made it clear he would not be backing down. Matt flinched, bowing his usually straight posture just a little. In a moment, though, he lifted his chin in indignation. Frustrated anger made his shoulders tense. This man could bounce back on a dime. Likely, it meant he'd zeroed in on someone to kick around until he felt in control again.
Here, I'll just get that scotch.
Camilla hurried to a cabinet at the side of the kitchen.
Jacinta, might I have a word?
My stomach rolled. I knew he could hurt me. It was worse than a knife wound, worse than injuries sustained in battle, because this was personal. He would hold up the most vulnerable aspects of me, the parts only a loved one would know about, and use them to cut me to the quick. Yeah, sure. I caught Austin's wary look as I followed Matt out into the front room.
Keep your head above the bullshit.
He stopped in the center of the space with his hands on his hips, like he was surveying a pothole that might damage his Lexus.
You've sure got him fooled, huh?
What do you mean?
How else would you find someone so forgiving? Then again, you haven't been together long. If he really knew you, like I knew you, he'd know how erratic you are. How incapable of living on your own. You can't provide for yourself. You didn't even go to college.
He'd gone for the throat right out of the gate. I balled my fists, struggling with self-doubt, because he wasn't entirely wrong. Not finishing college was one of my biggest regrets. And yes, I'd had no idea what I was going to do with myself after the divorce. If it weren't for Ivy House, I had no idea what sort of career I could have put together. How I would have paid the mortgage on a house after using the divorce settlement for a down payment. Austin had given me half of his estate, but I had nothing solidly on my own, not without Ivy House.
You were the reason I didn't finish college, and you know it. Remember? You convinced me to drop out after 2 years, saying it was time for marriage and a family, that I could go back later. But then later, when I could have gone back, you said we didn't have the money and I was needed at home. I sacrificed for this family, for what you wanted. Holding it against me is—
Yes, because I was supporting you. You wanted to go to school when you should have wanted to get a job and help with the bills. But no, you were more than happy to spend my money, and now you're blaming me for your life choices.
What are you even talking about? First of all, it was our money. Second, you wouldn't let me get a job. Not to mention being at home was a job, a very demanding job.
Being a wife and mother was somehow more demanding than being a husband and father who worked 60 hours a week? You got to stay home all day while I put a roof over your head and food on the table.
All you did was work. That's it. I took care of literally everything else in your life. Food was bought and made for you. Your social engagements planned. Your errands run. Your child—
Jacinta, I have given you the courtesy of listening to your wild opinions. Now you will listen to what I have to say. I find it incredibly disrespectful that you would change my plans with Jimmy on a whim. even more disrespectful that you would allow someone else to drop him off. Someone clearly unhinged. Do you know that person was wearing a cape and talking about being a butler? You'll allow this character to hang around our son?
First of all, it was Jimmy who originally changed plans, and that was because you arranged for someone else to pick him up after saying you were going to do it. Second—
That is utterly incorrect. This is what I mean. You twist words and now events to try to suit your needs. I was going to pick Jimmy up. We discussed that.
Except you changed the plan and we're going to have Camilla do it.
I didn't know such thing. I was always going to pick him up, and he knew that. He said you missed him and he wanted him at your house, so he went to make you feel better. Jacinta, is this what you need to do to be the center of attention? Lie?
What are you talking about?
I was desperately trying to think back through the muddle of my thoughts to when Jimmy had arrived. My frustration and anger were making things slippery.
No!
We had the whole week planned, and then your selfishness made him feel guilty. That isn't fair to the boy. To make matters worse, you specifically told me that you would personally drop him off, and then you send him with some strange character in a superhero outfit. He just waltzed into this house like he owned the place. Is this your version of a joke? Jeopardizing our child?
I'm not jeopardizing anything! Mr. Tom looks after Jimmy like he's his own child, more so, actually, and I didn't say I'd be dropping him off. I knew I couldn't, so
his own child? Just how many people are you dating?
The whiplash of that comment pulled me up short for a moment as I tried to process what he was accusing me of this time.
Besides, I distinctly remember your telling me you were going to drop him off.
I couldn't have said that, Matt. I tried to remember specifics from our previous conversation so I could prove him wrong verbatim. I knew he was trying to twist me up. I had something come up and I knew I wouldn't be able to. I remember that specifically. Besides, what does it actually matter
if— You need to calm down. There is no need to shout. I don't know why I bother trying to speak to you. You always blow everything out of proportion.
I blow everything out of proportion? You're the one—
No.
He put his hand in front of my face.
I will not tolerate yelling. You are clearly too emotional to discuss this in a rational manner. When you've calmed down, maybe we can have an intelligent conversation. I swear, Jacinta, when your new man friend realizes how you change facts and bend the truth, he won't be around much longer.
He shook his head in disdain as he about-faced and strode from the room.
Kill him. He's the sort of man the last heirs would have gone for. He'll end up trying to kill you. Trust me. Kill him before he gets the chance.
The trick is, girl, you have to establish yourself in a place before you go plying people for information. Eve sat slightly hunched over at the end of the bar where she could see most of the comings and goings. The size of the place made it easy. A fairly tiny affair, it had a few booths, a few high tables, and a row of 10 bar stools. A door at the front allowed in all the traffic, and one at the back led to the jacks. Two toilets, one urinal, and a couple of twisted holes where the signs used to be. It was a free-for-all back there. Pee everywhere. At least the locks worked. Not that Niamh cared. When she used the loo, not many guys were thrilled to witness it. She had no idea why. Maybe it was the inviting wave she gave any looky-loos.
You don't just waltz in, ask a bunch of questions, slurp down your beer and sashay back out again. That's a surefire way to get noticed.
Niamh rattled her ice in her glass and settled it at the end of the bar. The barman, a portly fellow with no real interest in the patrons, making drinks or moving, took a little encouragement. It was why Niamh had two drinks going at the same time, one to drink while the barman loaded up the other, then switch. Especially don't go all dolled up to a place like Brewster's or the Dirty Puck. Are you joking? You're much too pretty to go doing something like that.
Aurora leaned heavily against the bar top, a shot of whiskey in a double glass sitting in front of her, with a soda in a glass behind it. She'd asked for a whiskey sour, and this drink was the barman's response.
How'd you even know I was out?
Do you think I'm an idiot, do you?
Aurora gave her a blank stare.
A drop-dead gorgeous young woman walks into a bar.
Oh, I think I've heard this one.
The barman moseyed his way closer and reached for the empty glass.
Oh, wait, no, I haven't. Because hot chicks don't walk into bars like this unless they're selling something. Usually themselves.
Neve stared at him with a dispassionate expression.
Well, God Almighty, he can speak. What a real feckin' treat.
He shrugged.
You're the one telling the joke.
I'm not telling a joke, I'm looking at one. Get on with you and get me that drink. If I had a horse as slow as you, I'd sell it to the glue factory.
You should drink faster. Might improve your personality.
She tusked at him as he walked away, staring holes in his back.
The logic train doesn't stop at your station, does it? If you'd move faster, I would drink faster.
Aurora watched the scene with her father's straight face, giving absolutely nothing away.
Do you play poker? If not, you should. Find some dicks, start a game, and clean up. Anyway,
why doesn't the bartender kick you out?
There it was, hidden in her tone. She was incredulous and bewildered. Figured she was a novice at the pubs, only having been in the ones around her pack. The people there probably treated her as the Alpha's daughter. Royalty or near enough. Not here. Here she fit in with all the pretty, rich Los Angelinos. A face for the big screen and a body from, they would assume, the gym. She wore nice clothing, hair and makeup like she should be hitting a posh club. But she was on her own, in seedy bars, without the least bit of nervousness. None of it added up, and guys in bars talked a lot. They were the biggest gossips in the history of the world. Not even Patty could compete with the likes of them.
He doesn't kick me out because he likes being razzed. You gotta know your crowd and how to talk to them.
And why do I need to know that?
Because if you're gonna go out, you should at least help the team. And I knew it was you because of your description, including the failure to smile or show any sort of emotion. That and the distance from the bar hotel were dead giveaways. Far enough away to take too long for a human, but just close enough that a big tiger, who made a couple of homeless men question their sanity and proximity to the zoo, could make it there handy enough. If Naomi goes out looking for you, she probably won't find you. I assume that's why you chose a dive bar. Or should I say dive bars? Since this is the third one you've hit up tonight.
Yeah, which is why I was obviously surprised when you did find me.
Different league, kid. Take a lesson. Literally, I'm handing them out free. Write them down.
Aurora stared at Neve for a long moment.
You've cased all the bars in the area, gotten gossip on me, and made friends with homeless guys?
Oi.
All in 3 days.
3 days and one evening. It's real easy in this town. Dicks and Janes aren't suspicious creatures when it comes to old women. Mages aren't suspicious of Dicks and Janes, which is what I look like. And I stay out of the shifter territory where they could smell me. Ah, here comes Broken Sue. He probably followed the breadcrumbs as well. He's not real pretty, but he's got a little something between his ears.
You don't think he's handsome?
Aurora looked at Neve.
Are you blind?
You might use a little expression, girl, or people are going to think you're stuffed full of Botox. No, he's too troubled to be pretty. Too much baggage makes Dick a very dull boy.
I feel like you're just talking nonsense.
It was a fair assessment. Broken Sue stalked the bar like he'd just won a bar fight and intended to start another. A handful of patrons gave him a wary look, the rougher among them staring hard. That was until he stared back, then they dropped their gazes down to their hands and slumped over their beers. It seemed no one in this bar was drunk or stupid, and certainly not both. The barman put Neve's-filled cider on the bar, and she drained the current one and pushed it forward. He wrapped his chubby hands around it, but didn't move, watching as Broken Sue stopped at the corner and stared down at Aurora.
You shouldn't be out by yourself, and you definitely shouldn't have left without telling anyone where you'd gone.
I'm not out by myself.
Aurora hooked a thumb Neve's way.
Are you calling me stupid?
His intensity increased, his power swirling around them. She looked at him as her own power started to pump out. Two alphas not liking the other throwing their weight around. The difference was, one of them held seniority in the pack and a lot more experience, and the other had better lower her gaze, or there would be hell to pay. As if hearing Neve, Aurora dropped her eyes before taking a sip of her whiskey. She crinkled her nose.
What'd they call you?
Sue.
He stood on the stool kitty corner from Aurora. He reached for her glass, stopping with his big hand around it, but splayed his fingers out a bit, asking permission to take it. Aurora's movement was so subtle, Neve would have missed it if she hadn't been watching. She only knew what it meant because Broken Sue's question had been so clear. His fingers touched down and he pulled the glass to him, running it under his nose before pressing it to his lips. Aurora watched his mouth, then her gaze dipped to his bobbing Adam's apple. Broken Sue lowered the glass to the top of the bar and then pushed it.
And pour that down the sink. It's garbage.
What are you on about? Here, send it over here. Don't waste whiskey. Are you mad?
It's cheap.
So are you. But we don't throw you out now, do we? Aurora, give that here. Neve waved it on. Aurora did as she was told, now watching Neve as she upended the glass and drank down the contents.
Oh, Sue. Well, how do you do?
Ah, for feck's sake, get the ugly man an expensive whiskey, would ya? Get the girl a girl.
Two shots of Woodford Reserve. One neat, one with a couple of cubes of ice and a twist. Make sure the twist is clean.
The barman scratched his stomach as he looked toward the containers down the bar.
Hey, I can do a twist.
It's scraping off a part of the lemon rind. Don't put yourself out like. The barman moved away.
Never do.
Aurora half glanced at Broken Sue, and apparently that meant something because he replied.
I didn't want bad whiskey to put you off the drink. They don't have any good whiskey, so I ordered you a bourbon. If you don't like it, at least you gave it a fair shot.
Neve didn't notice any movement from her, but his slight incline of the head was usually his way of saying,
you're welcome.
Crap on a crust of bread. Yes, or a couple of mimes. I'm regretting you tracking us down. He stared at her. Aurora stared at her. Neither had any expression whatsoever. Forget thinking you have Botox. People are gonna think you're a couple of mannequins. It's disconcerting. Try a smile, or a frown, or a fart, I don't care. Do something like.
How'd you find me?
Your scent. It's distinctive. And it lingers.
Why aren't you with Jesse and them, though?
Naomi said Aurora was missing. She hadn't checked in or told anyone she was leaving.
In my old pack, when we were off duty, we were off duty. We didn't have babysitters.
The two stared at each other for a long moment before Aurora slowly pulled her gaze away, a beat shy of a challenge. Broken Sue continued to look at her.
You're not in your old pack. You are also not in the home territory of your new pack. You are travelling in hostile conditions. In this situation, we check in. You report to the Alphas or to me. If all of us are indisposed, you report to the most senior of the pack. I was told you'd had extensive training and think you're ready for your own pack. I shouldn't have to explain the basics to you.
She snapped her head back to him, her body minutely tensing.
You are also here for family reasons, invited personally by the Alphas.
His powerful stare beat into hers. She held it, refusing to back down. Niamh watched with a small smirk. Maybe she was glad he tracked them down after all. This was bloody good entertainment. And she was clearly out to get his goat, because any fool would know what he meant.
Given we are in a potentially hostile situation, or at the least an unknown situation, you need to communicate where you're going to your uncle or Naomi or Jessie, because she will worry the most and scour the world looking for you.
He paused for a moment.
You know this. I see. So why didn't you check in?
Again, she held his stare. Niamh rested her chin on her hand and her elbow on the bar, watching. Power coiled between them, as if they were two rams gearing up to butt heads. This time, after Aurora finally turned away, Broken Sue softened his tone.
Well, I understand wanting independence, but the timing isn't right for solitude. If you want to see the world away from your family, pick a partner on the team to go with you.
Like who? Who's gonna allow me to let my hair down without running to my uncle and telling him what I'm doing and who I'm doing it with?
Niamh's grin spread as Broken Sue's eyes darkened. That had thrown him for a wee loop. He didn't speak, and Aurora nodded slightly.
Exactly.
Bollocks! If you take the lessons I'm trying to feed you, you could hop around the bars with me. Tristan would keep your secrets, no problem. And if it's a little fun you're interested in, you don't even need to leave your room. The gargoyles would come to you, line them up and take as many as you want. They don't mind. They're happy to share. It's only this great lummox who's a spoiled sport. Steer clear of him. Bad news. This is what I meant about baggage. Too much of it, if you ask me. Way too much. And his stare is much too loud. It deafens me.
Okay.
The barman was back, setting down the drinks.
Oh, right. Eyes.
Broken Sue lifted his glass slowly, staring into Niamh's face. He was so easy to roil up now that she knew his buttons. At least the pressure was off Aurora.
Camilla, do you have an apron?
Austin didn't like the frame of mind Jess was in. Being here, she was clearly reliving old horrors. He knew what that was like, having done his fair share of it recently. This situation was a little different, though. Jess had clearly been conditioned to act and react in a certain way in that relationship. She'd been stuffed into a box of expectation when she was young and manipulated into staying there. Camilla was walking down the same path, younger, impressionable, and now financially dependent. Austin would bet Matt would knock her up soon to trap her in. This guy had a system that clearly worked. It was hard to stay back and let that man talk to Jess so disrespectfully. But this was something she needed. She was struggling to throw off the chains of her Jane conditioning. She would, though. She'd snap and assert herself. When she did, the explosion would be epic. That was when Austin would lean in and seal this dude's coffin. Not before. He wouldn't deny Jess her glory. For now, he would show Camilla what a real man was like.
An apron?
He opened his arms and looked down at his dress shirt. Food splatter is hard to get off. She breathed out a small, nervous smile.
True. Good point.
She opened the pantry door and lifted one of the aprons hanging on the back.
It's kind of feminine.
Oh, my masculinity isn't so fragile as to be threatened by an apron.
He waited patiently while she pulled out a white apron with black stencils of high tea tables and candelabra and English-style cottages. The bottom was a little ruffled, like a skirt, the design incorporating black lines in what looked like an homage to a French-made mini apron. It also had a large black bow accentuating the right hip. It was really cute, actually. And if Jess were wearing it without any clothes underneath, it would be incredibly sexy. Given she wanted to learn how to cook in a fun and loving environment, he had a feeling this would be a perfect gift. Raised voices drifted from the front room, and raw emotion rolled through the bonds. Anger and surprise and frustration and misery. He took a deep breath as he pulled the apron on and tied it around his waist. He began looking through the cabinets for a glass. Jess's anger was amplifying. He found a glass and poured himself some wine.
Do you want a glass?
He pulled out one for Jess and hesitated before taking out a third. Camilla was still standing in front of the open pantry.
Yeah, sure. I'll just...
She hesitantly pulled out another apron, this one pink with darker pink flowers, lime green straps, a matching belt around the middle, and pockets.
Oh, I see. You gave me the one without pockets.
He shook his head.
Selfish.
She laughed a little more freely, pulling it on.
Yes, you've got me. Us ladies pine for pockets.
Shouting rang through the house, and Camilla tensed.
Wine?
Austin monitored Jess through the bonds. Intense anger and confusion. Bewilderment. Austin would bet he was spinning her head around. Matt seemed to have a knack for manipulation. It made Austin want to punch him, which wasn't something Janes could usually get away with. Dicks, either. This guy was probably litigious.
Sure. Sorry about...
No need to apologize.
Austin poured her a glass and set it to the side for her. Usually a shifter wouldn't offer another female food or drink, but this woman didn't know those rules. She'd think it was a slight if he set down the bottle and expected her to help herself. He knew Jess would understand. Still, he was glad her gargoyle wasn't here to see it.
We're the support system. Whatever happens is between them.
True.
So,
he clapped his hands together and looked around the immaculate kitchen.
What are we having? How can I help? I'm all dressed up with nothing to do.
She laughed again as Matt entered the kitchen, flustered and obviously angry, though trying to keep his cool. He froze when he saw Austin in the apron, and a scowl creased his brow.
Camilla. Putting our guest in that is entirely inappropriate. Don't you have anything more fitting?
Oh, no, I just have the two aprons. I didn't know...
Austin, this is embarrassing. Allow me to apologize for my fiancé. She clearly missed the mark. I'm sure no one would fault you for going back on your desire to help her.
Austin let his stare beat into the other man, his power promising pain.
I think the ruffles really accentuate my hips, don't you?
Matt froze. His tongue darted out to wet his lips, and primal fear made his body rigid.
Well then, if you'll excuse me, I have a few matters to attend to. I'll leave you to the kitchen with the women.
After delivering what he clearly thought was a dig, he hurried from the room and Austin's dominating presence, fleeing, in other words, so he wouldn't be forced to face the fallout of his words. The rush of anger that followed was a palpable thing, coursing through Austin's body and lighting him up with adrenaline. He was not the kind of guy to let a challenge go unmet, and he absolutely detested allowing that guy to issue it while running.
I'm sorry.
Definitely do not apologize for that.
Austin did his best to quash the throbbing rage.
Unless he's a robot and you hold the remote control, you are not responsible for a grown man's actions.
He wrestled up a smile that was clearly startling because Camilla took a step back, her eyes widening. He needed Jess in here to defuse the situation. He felt her hurrying his way, clearly in response to his distress.
What are we making?
He rolled his head, his neck crackling. Jess sauntered in a moment later, her face flushed with anger, but her eyes hyper-focused. She moved slowly, like molasses, but graceful and outwardly calm. Concern flowed through the bonds, and her gaze raked over his body before settling on his eyes.
"Hey, handsome."
She reached him, running a hand up his arm and around his neck. Austin barely registered Jimmy following her into the kitchen.
"Looking hot in that apron."
She looped her other arm around his neck and then pulled him down for a kiss and a tight hug. Her lips brushed off his ear, and she whispered,
"Not even you had the power to steer this dinner away from Shitsville."
He huffed out a laugh, holding her firmly.
"I was blindsided, I will admit. He is... He didn't have the words. At least we're in it together. We've been through worse. Maybe later you can accidentally on purpose toss him through the window."
She laughed as he let her go. He could tell she felt worlds better, and so did he. It was true. They'd had worse. Much worse. 1,000 times worse. In the grand scheme of things, this was less than nothing. She just had to realize it and then act on it, thereby allowing him to scare that guy so badly he wet himself. He just hoped she made her stand soon. He wasn't gonna be able to take much more of this torture.